Happy Friday, everyone. It is November 25, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Scenes here in the studio already this morning. Clarkie's given Matt Burke, Wallaby Great, our co-host this morning. A bit of a batting masterclass here pre-show in the studio. Morning to you, Burkey. Time for you to give Pup a bit of a goal-kicking
lesson.
Mate, I didn't ask for it.
No, but you're going to get it.
No, I didn't ask for the cricket tutoring either.
No. There's a debate happening. Good morning, boys. Good morning. There's a debate happening at work as how to hold the cricket bat properly, how to move your hands, and I look at it now through the world of what we are. We're trying to reinvent the wheel for a lot of things. The wheel's already been carved out of stone, but it's like that justification, you know. So the technical points, I'm saying, just run on instinct. You know, that's most sports. I mean, that if you take it through there, most sports is the feel of the game. But there's a lot of people trying to change it up at the moment.
Was that free, by the way, that lesson?
No, I'll send him an invoice.
He's on the phone now. He's going to send me the invoice.
I just send it to my PA. Get an invoice over there. Coaching fee. Oh, no, you're 100% right, Burkey. Morning to our listeners. Morning to everyone. I think there's obviously technical sides to all things you do. And there's a reason it's spoken about in a certain way, and that's because over a long period of time it's worked. But everyone has their own style. So I think if you can know the basics and the foundation of what has helped people be successful, but then you do it your way. Mm. So, you know, again, you look at batting techniques. Well, Steve Smith's technique, you wouldn't coach that to any young boy or any young girl, yet he's one of our all-time great batsman. So he's worked out where his body, where his weight, where his head, where his bat swing all needs to be before the bowler lets the ball go. It's just everything that happens before the bowler lets the ball go, you go, oh my God, you would not teach that to anyone. But it works for him. He knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. So
wasn't he hitting it clean the other day?
Unreal.
Like some of the straight drive, I haven't seen him hit a straight drive like
that's
that for
what's
a long
improved
time.
So what he's done, he had a big prelim movement, which sometimes when he wasn't at his best, he would fall across the ball as well. There was so much movement, he would go across the ball. So outside off stump, he could hit through the offside. Anything straight at that, and it really for him was that off stump, not middle stump. He was, because he was moving, he was looking to hit it through the leg side. So he stopped that significant move. He's a lot stiller when the ball's released, which now allows him to hit straight drive, really straight off drive. He hit one down the ground. It was like a perfect on drive as well, because his head now is going back in the direction as to where the bowler's letting the ball go, rather than over to cover, rather than falling across the crease. He's now going back down the line. So his balance is unbelievable. And he's so still. He's got great hands. That's the thing about Smitty. The quicker someone bowls, generally, if you're not in the right position, you get found out. You'll edge it or you'll hit it in the air. He's got really fast hands. So he can see the ball late, but then catch up with his hands. Really quick hand speed. And not every player. David Warner, completely opposite.
Yeah.
David Warner hasn't got that. David Warner is more of a player that has to be very still. He sees the ball really early, and then he gets into position. Where Smitty might see it, but moves later than everyone else and catches up with fast hands.
It's quick hands, I know you probably already chatted about this, obviously, T20 World Cup gone past. Why didn't he get a start? Was he out of favour with the coach at the time? Because the performance that he did in the last three one days were outstanding. Why wouldn't you have him in the team?
Look, I think I thought he should have been in our team. I thought he should have been batting in our top order, just as that foundation, that stabiliser.
Yeah.
I think his 2020 record's nowhere near as good as his one-day or test record. And I think there was a theory that, you know, we're going to go with power. We wanted more power, even from that number three position. They moved Mitchell Marsh into number three, and they brought Tim David in at number six. They wanted to really go as hard as they could. But to me, I think there is still a place for a world-class batsman, genuine cricketer, genuine batter that, you know, the Kane Williamson, New Zealand, Virat Kohli, India. And I thought Steve Smith for Australia was going to be that man. And if we, you know, if we're none for 60 off six overs, then Steve Smith doesn't need to go in at number three. Mm. Sen, Mitchell Marsh in sen, Glenn Maxwell in. But if we're 2 for 20 in an over and two overs,
yeah,
I know who I want walking to the crease. Yeah. I want Steve Smith out there. So, yeah, again, that's part of selection. That, and a lot of that comes down to the captain and the coach's tactics as well, how Australia thought they were going to win the tournament. They made that decision. They went that way. And unfortunately, it didn't work. But it is nice to see Smitty in form. It is nice to see him back batting at his absolute best, because I think we take for granted how good a player he's been and how young he is. He's only 33. Mm. Mate, he can play for another 5 years. Mm. You know, he's been an absolute superstar as a batsman. And to me, I still think if he wants to play all three formats, I think he's still good enough.
Still good.
I don't know if he will. I don't know if we'll see Smitty want to play T20 cricket anymore, certainly for Australia. But, to me, if he wanted to, why couldn't he open the batting in T20 cricket?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he can. That's the advantage you got. He's still a world-class player.
It was spectacular to watch. When he came back and walked down the pitch and said, "I'm back, baby," yeah. And you just think there's a bit of,
but imagine if David Warner said that.
That's so
the Australian
true.
Fans would abuse him until the year was over. They'd be going, "Mate, how arrogant. Oh, so Warner." But it's Smitty, we all go, "Oh, he is back. How good. But... Mm. Oh, look, he batted like a genius in those one days. And
good.
He's back in form. So I feel sorry for the West Indies who are playing these couple of test matches against them. And then I think we're going to need Smitty at his best against South Africa.
I'll tell you what, that first one day, though, when we got a few runs, didn't get a great deal, and then England came in to bat, and we obviously bowled well, and I thought, is this enough runs? Are we going to get beaten by England in this one day?
Yeah.
And they've been on the piss for 3 days. Yeah, that's not going to be a good look.
Well,
turns out they smoked them in the end. But
wasn't the greatest sign for England when Josh Butler, their captain, came out and said, "Mate, we're not going to be at our best. We're still celebrating the 2020 World Cup," the day before the first one day.
Declared. That was magnificent.
It's amazing. Cricket and golf, isn't it? As soon as you have a couple of bad knocks, couple of bad rounds, you just want to change everything up, don't you?
Change.
And you know, you ought to have that strength to just stick with, you know, the system you've already got. Imagine Graham Arnold
but
at the moment.
But can I jump in? Sorry, mate. Yeah. Can I jump in? And that goes just to the punters as well. I played golf the other day in Tasmania with a few of your old mates and some Loz's mates and blah, blah, blah. And I haven't hit a club for so long. And I think I go, okay, I didn't know where straight was. I was going, you start to think about your breathing then, going, if I'm breathing in my backswing, and I was just chopping it everywhere.
You're breathing.
Have you not heard that one?
Well,
do you breathe in or do you breathe out in your backswing?
I've never even considered that, actually.
Do you know what? Next time
you're
out there,
if in doubt, hold your breath. I use that theory in life.
Just come up for air every now and then.
Mate, if in doubt, just hold your breath a little bit longer. A little bit longer. Stay out of here.
So breathe in on your backswing.
Well, see, I've got you thinking about it now, haven't I?
Breathe in.
So next time you're on the tee there, just say, mate, do you breathe in or out on your backswing?
I'm playing next Wednesday.
And people there going like that. You're right, stand there and go,
that is unreal.
The reason I don't play golf. There it is right there.
Love it. Sorry, mate. You were talking about Graham Arnold.
Well, could you imagine him at the moment probably questioning himself, going, what am I going to do with this team? What do I do coming off that loss to France?
I don't know. I don't know if he would be. And that was one of the things I asked Mossy the other day after the loss, because, again, I know nothing about football. I'm watching the game on TV, and yes, I can see France, France are contender to win this World Cup, and they are. So Australia already starts a long way behind France. But watching the game, I think, geez, we let a couple of easy goals in. I know they might be a much better team, but we let a couple of goals. But Mossy said straight, you know what? Sometimes you just got to own it. Sometimes you just get beaten by a much better team, and they were much better across the entire paddock. So if Mossy, our expert and someone who knows the sport so well, thinks that, you'd imagine that's what Graham Arnold's saying. He said, at the end of the day, let's not look too deep into this. Mate, we just got beaten by World Cup winners last World Cup. Let's just go, okay. And that's why I said to him, I think Mossy yesterday or the day before, if we play like that, will we win the next two games? And he was like, most probably. Or if we can do it for a little bit longer, then we will. So if you're Graham Arnold, I reckon that's your attitude. I think it's more, okay, let's look at some areas we can get better, or we should have, you know, we could have been more disciplined here. We could have been more consistent here, whatever it is. But I don't think you're looking too hard at that, if you lost to somebody that's closer to you like that, that's when I think you start questioning, did I get the tactics right? Have we got the right players on the field? Did I make the right decisions? But if you're going on what Mossy said, then I actually think you play on.
I reckon in some, pardon me, I reckon in some instances as well, when you're, and you may have been there as well in your early career, if you're playing, and I don't know if you touched on that back of the West Indies, that, that incredible time
era,
there.
Yeah.
You stand there, and I did it when you're playing the All Blacks. Your first game, you become the best spectator on the field because you're just there watching. You got the greatest seat in the game because you're watching. Imagine trying to cover Mbappe down that left-hand side there. Just going, I think I've got him. And then he just burns you. And you just go like, no, I don't. I thought I was quick, but I'm not that quick.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a difference. And there's a monetary difference as well. You know, I mean, I think that worked out to be $700 million difference between the two teams. So you're right. You're in there. And I think there's a shock factor as well when you're playing these guys. And once they can get over that shock factor, then you can start to play. And then your skills come out and you think, you know, I don't really give a, you know what, who I'm playing against. I'm going to go as hard as I can. And that's that respect factor you have for the other players. Mind you, though, I was watching that Argentina-Saudi Arabia game the other day. And I was just getting so frustrated watching just the half touches and falling over. Like they've, hence the minutes. The games are going to go for 110 minutes now. Like with just the diving. And the goalkeeper, the Saudi Arabia goalkeeper, caught the ball. All he had to do was just move on, just play. And he caught the ball and he then fell to the ground and lay on the ball for about 30 seconds, then got up and sort of dropped it. It's like, mate, come on. Like, you know, like we're trying to sell a, well, you don't need to sell a global game. It's already there. But it just, you just need small things to work well for the punters to get going. It was just so frustrating.
It's the thing about the game we can't cop particularly is offense, can we? So, the stoppage time, they're doing it properly. Any sort of stoppage in play, they're adding those minutes. That's why you're seeing huge minutes when the official on the sideline puts the minutes up for the stoppage time at the end of each half. Now, breathe in on the backswing, folks.
It's not a bad swing as well, Mitter.
Okay.
I've got you now, haven't I?
Yeah,
I've got you
really thinking about it. This is how when I used to bat in cricket, the same thing.
Oh, is that right?
Drive too yourself insane.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you guys are thinking too.
What about when you line up in front of a kick to win and you're just going, God, that those posts are narrow. Just hit it and then you got blokes in front of you going, talking you out of it. So, yeah.
Okay, headlines, back page, Telegraph. Dave Clemmer speaking as he's rocked up to your club, the Tigers, pup. My best is yet to come is the headline, the back page of the Telly, back page of the Herald, the fire still burns. And Clemmer says he didn't think the Knights wanted to extend him and he was off contract at the end of next season. So he saw a big opportunity at the Tigers. He says he still feels like an 18-year-old kid. He's 28. Gave glowing endorsements to Tim
Sheehy. I still feel 18 as well. I'm 41. I get that.
Until the next morning.
Yeah, hurts. Hurts a bit more, but apart from mentally, I still feel 18.
He gave glowing endorsements to Tim Sheens and Benji Marshall, and he says it's been a breath of fresh air coming from Newcastle. Maybe you could read that as a bit of a clip, but maybe just in the context of everything else he was saying as well.
What's the change, though, Mido? I mean, I know Jackson Hastings goes up to Newcastle. You'd not go like for like in that sort of situation?
Well, the theory is that, well, Newcastle needed a halfback. The Tigers could use some extra grunt and experience in their forward pack, so it just worked out perfectly. Hence, the player swap happened between differing positions. So it just suited both clubs. Newcastle have quite a few middle forwards. So, yeah, the Tigers could have done with a couple more.
He had that blow up during the year, didn't he? Remember the trainer
with
comes
Hayden
out?
Hayden Knowles, yeah.
Got off the field.
Yeah, ended up in HR. Yeah. So, anyway, he's gone to the Tigers. So, I think it's a good pickup for you, Papa. I reckon looking at your forward pack next year, it's just on paper.
Yeah. It looks a lot stronger.
Just looks a lot stronger already. Appy Korosau's the big one.
That's the only thing, though. That's the only thing that I question. Yes, I think Appy Korosau, I agree, is huge for us. But imagine having him with Jackson Hastings beside him, who was our best player last year. That's the hardest thing for me to comprehend. Why would we let our best player of last season go? And the only thing I can think of is that's a great example of what Tim Sheens has said. He wants to play a completely different brand of footy. So he's obviously got the players in his squad that he feels can play that brand of footy that he wants. And It's no holds barred. It's not about who the player is. This is how the team is playing. These are the people I need in that position to do that job. And it's no disrespect to anybody or how good last season was. Last season's dead. Mm. We're picking a whole new team with a whole new structure. And these are the players I think I need to do that. So, yeah, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. I think Tim Sheens is okay with that. I think he's made that pretty clear. He's going to do it his way. And if it doesn't work, then he's happy to walk out the door.
The club is so saddled by the huge contract and huge amount of money Luke Brooks is being paid next year as well. I think that was a factor. Even though they could have offloaded him, I think they probably looked at the cost benefit of all that and gone, well, we got Luke Brooks here.
Yeah,
let's deal with that.
Mate.
You know, he was Dally M halfback of the year 5 years ago.
I can tell you now, though, no matter how much money they would have to pay Luke Brooks out, that's going to be a lot less than if we come last again.
Oh, yeah.
In regards to money lost to the club.
Well, that's the
membership, sponsorship. So I don't think this decision is about money. It's probably played a little part, but I don't think Tim Sheens is keeping Luke Brooks because of the number he's on. I think, you know, if it was the same as, if they're on the same number as, he was on the same number as Jackson Hastings, it might be different. They might have got rid of Brooks instead of Hastings, who knows? But I don't think Tim Sheens is making decisions based on, oh my God, we're going to have to pay Luke Brooks 400 grand out or 500 grand out or whatever it is, because he knows his job, sponsorship around the team, membership and fan criticism, supporter criticism right now is worth way more than $1 million, let me tell you.
Back page of the telly as well. Bucky's defence of Langer, John Buchanan, coming to the defence of Justin Langer, a couple of former Australian coaches. Of course, John Buchanan coached Justin Langer and yourself there, Clarkie. But also I read that Justin Langer spoke on 7 News in Perth last night. And after his interview the other day where, you know, he made his feelings known on his exit as Australian coach and, a supposed rift with the players. Well, these are his direct quotes on 7 News Perth last night. Ironically, I spoke to Paddy Cummins on Monday. We had a long talk about how the team was going, how he's going, how his family's going, and some of this rubbish is complete and utter rubbish. So, nothing to see here all of a sudden.
Well, yeah. It's just a headline. Like, the Lang, they took this quote in, not yesterday's paper, the day before, I think it was, of what Lang said. Was it on a podcast or did he do an interview?
Yeah.
So they've actually got quotes, but what Lang's probably saying is he didn't mean it exactly how the headlines are written. There's no context behind the headline, but at the end of the day, there's quotes there. So it has come out of his mouth.
Oh, they were solid quotes.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, yeah. I think in the
end, he doesn't want beef. That's what I think Lang's trying to say. Oh my God, this is like caused, you know, the world's biggest stir. I'm on the front page and the back page, and I didn't want that to happen. I didn't mean it. I tried to get my point across, but I didn't mean to do this. So I think that's what he's trying to say. But, mate, welcome to the world we live in, mate. You say it. It's front page news.
When he was calling them cowards, I don't know about that, if it's not going to make the front page of the headlines. Yeah. I understand where you're coming from there, Clarkie. He said those things, and you could see he was quite animated.
Yeah.
But he said them in a way from a coaching perspective, if that's the case, to say, like, when we have a coach-player relationship, you know, because he was talking about being brutally honest, just tell me. Like, we're not kids in a playground. Yeah. We're adults trying to work out what's the best scenario for our country's sport, so to speak, you know? So I think that's the one. And I think he was most disappointed, as he said, with the noise and the source, where that source was coming from. So
with things like this, I learnt and I still believe if you're going to give an interview about something that is you're emotionally attached to, it's very important to you and it's hit your heart. It's got to be live. It has to be a live interview. It can't be pre-record, and it can't be cut and paste.
Chop it up.
Good point.
Because your words, you can see in someone's mannerisms. You can see how sad they are. You can see how it's affected someone. You can actually read their body language watching it on television, seeing it live, rather than if you just take a tiny piece of what I've said and put that as a headline. It looks horrible, or it could look horrible. And I think this is maybe an example of that. If Lang does it live, you can see he's so emotional. Mm-hmm. And he's still so involved with this Australian team. And, yeah, he's heartbroken that he's not the coach anymore. You can see that in without even him speaking, just looking at his mannerisms. But it unfortunately doesn't work like that because the paper has to write an article the next day and they're just taking that tiny little snippet.
We take that little bit, we put that little bit, put it together, put a bit of overlay on the top of it. Matt, it's like...
We took his first five words of what he said and his last five with a couple of pictures of him looking angry and, mate, bang.
Do you know, I used to, to make sure of that. When you say, you know, like, you know, and Mido was an absolute, you know, sort of tosser, but on the field he was great, you know, and so they take that first bit.
Yeah, absolute tosser.
I used to
exclamation
always,
mark.
I used to always swear in there, so they had to take the whole thing so that they could not chop it up type thing. Because, you know, not that I was ever that controversial, but you got to get that.
The full sentence in. Yeah, the context around your comment.
Otherwise you're gone, absolutely.
Yeah, just on the coward part the other day, Justin Langer, he goes on to say, this is on 7 News Perth last night, there was sort of talk about relating the word coward with Pat Cummins. If you listen to the podcast, I was actually praising Pat. I was praising Finchie. I was praising Tim Payne for giving me the feedback. I was actually complimenting them, not criticising them as it's come out. Yeah. It turns into a bushfire. Yeah. What do you do?
Well, see that's exactly it. So we ran a full, you know, story on it at work at 10, and you catch the best pieces when he goes, you know, and these blokes were cowards. They were cowards. Mm. And so he doesn't then go on and say, but I explained to the guys that when they came through. So you've got to listen to everything in context.
But you're right. He didn't clarify who the cowards were.
Who the source was, the cowards were.
Talking about Justin, about
Cummins.
Cummins and Finch. At the time.
He's
probably trying to get so much across as well, you know. He just, in that moment, he's forgotten the back half.
He did make a good point, and we're going back through history now. But he won the T20 World Cup, won the Ashes, got him to number one, and then was like, see you later. Yeah. From your point of view, have we lost a bit of edge in that space?
Oh, I still think Lang's the right guy to be coaching Australia.